Father, we praise you this morning. Lord, we exalt your name and give you praise. For you're worthy, O God, to be praised. You're worthy to be lifted up. You're worthy to receive honor and glory. And Father, we just give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. May your word be alive, quick and sharp, producing in us what is necessary to stand and to live a life that brings honor and glory to your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 27. Now Moses and the elders of Israel commanded the people, saying, "Keep the whole commandment that I command you today. And on the day you cross over Jordan to the land that the Lord your God is giving you, you shall set up a large stones and plaster them with plaster. And you shall write on them all the words of this law when you cross over to enter the land that the Lord your God is giving to you, a land flowing with milk and honey, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you. And when you have crossed over the Jordan, you shall set up these stones, concerning which I command you today, on Mount Ebal. And you shall plaster them with plaster. And there you shall build an altar to the Lord your God, an altar of stones. You shall weave no iron tool on them. You shall build an altar to the Lord your God of uncut stones. And you shall offer burnt offerings on it to the Lord your God. And you shall sacrifice peace offering, and you shall eat there, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God. And you shall write on the stones all the words of this law very plainly." Very plainly. Have any of you have any kind of a situation that it just reminds you of something? Something that every time you see it, it reminds you of something? Well, when I was 40 years old, when I turned 40, Jill's grandfather died. Same day. And at the funeral, there was lots of flowers. I mean, there was flowers everywhere. All different fresh flowers. And I could smell those flowers. Well, at time come, I had to do a wedding. And when I was at a wedding, they had lots of fresh flowers. And I couldn't think of a wedding. All I could think of was a funeral. Every time to this day I smell fresh flowers, funeral comes to my mind. I think about a funeral. You know, the other day, when Jill was, when we had our 20th wedding anniversary, I went to the flower place, what they call it, the florist, and I ordered her a dozen red roses. And I was bringing it home in the car, and I'm smelling these roses, and all I could think about is a funeral. That's all I could think about, because my first experience with a lot of fresh cut flowers was at a funeral. What are some of the things in your life that brings back memories? You know, maybe you have a picture in the house. It's in a certain place, and it was your great-grandmother's, and every time you pass that picture, you remember your great-grandmother. It's not a picture of her. It's just a scenery. But every time you pass it, it reminds you. And when your grandchild comes, the picture is not very beautiful. It may not even match anything in the house. And when your grandchild comes up to you and say, "Why do you have that picture? It doesn't match anything," you say, "I remember Grandma. Let me tell you about Grandma." You see, when the people of Israel, when they crossed over to the promised land, they were commanded to take up stones. And I could imagine, I used to think it was just a small stone, you know. I used to think they just pick up a stone. But
they had to carry it on their shoulder. So it was a pretty good size. So I'll change it from stone. They had to take up a boulder. And 12 of them had to make an altar. And they had to take that altar and they had to plaster it. And then they had to write on it very, very clearly the commandments of the Lord. Every time they came there to worship, I could imagine that they would remember how God took them from the land of Egypt and brought them to the promised land. You see, that was a momentum for them to remember what God has done. What it is in your life today that you could remember what God has done in your life. How he brought you from a place of destruction, a place of sin, a place going nowhere, and he took you from where you were in the land of Egypt, in slavery to sin, and he brought you out, crossed you over the Jordan, and put you into the promised land in a place of a future and a hope. What do you have to look back to and say, this is what God done for me? You know, I thought about it, and every time I think about my salvation, I think about a marketplace. Every time I drive by that marketplace, I can't do it anymore, it's in Trinidad. Every time I drive by that marketplace, I remember that night that I was walking by and there was a crusade going on and I stopped to hear the word of God, and God took me from my Egypt and brought me into the promised land. Every time. And you may be walking with your kids and you may stop to soak it in for a minute and you say, but Dad, why every time you pass this spot, you have to kind of pause for a minute? I said, you just don't know about what God has done for me. You see, in Joshua chapter 4, verse 1, it even had a better detail. It says, and when your children ask you why you have erected that altar there, you can say, this is what God has done. You know what it tells me? That it's our responsibility to share with our children what God has done in our lives. How many of us take the time to tell your child and your grandchildren about your time in Egypt and your journey to the promised land and how God got you from there to where you are today? You see, I believe God wants us to put things in place also to keep us from sinning. It was there as a remembrance. I could just imagine the ones who actually went through the experience that when they saw that altar, they just could not, but their mind had to go back to how they walked through dry land to get over here. Then, it's not only there, it's there because God wants them to remember his word. What he said, the commandments, put it there how? Very clearly. Why do you think it was to be that way? So that it can be recognizable and that it can be read and it can be put in your heart. The psalmist said this, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. How you get God's word in your heart? You have to set it up that it's in front of you all the time so you could place it in your heart. You know, my grandmother wasn't a Christian until she was almost on her deathbed. But in our home, she had this plaque over the bedroom hallway. You could never go in the bedroom without seeing that plaque. I go to prepare a place for you. You know what? I'll never forget that. Why? It was placed there and it has edged its way into my heart. Some of us want the Word of God to be edged in our hearts, but we do nothing to put it there. Think about it. They had to write the Word on the doorposts of their house. What do you think is going to happen? Every time they open that door, or every time they have to go into that house, where is the Word of God? It's right there. And how is it put? Clearly. You know why it's clearly? You can read it and probably read it from a distance. What else they had to do? They had, when they sit around the table, what they had to do? They had to talk about the Word of God. Why? The Word of God needs to be etched in our hearts. And we need to do all that we can do so that we can get it there. Do you have things in place? I know God has not commanded you to build an altar in the front of your property and plaster it with plaster and write the Ten Commandments on there. He didn't do that. But he gave us something very precious. He gave us the Word of God. He gave us the Bible. In fact, in many Christians' homes, they have probably four or five Bibles. Each person in the house may have two or three Bibles. King James, NIV, ESV, Living. We have so many opportunity to edge the Word of God on our hearts. But are we doing it? I was driving here this morning, and I'm praying. And the thought came to mind, resist the devil, and he will flee. And I kept driving and I kept praying. And then another thought came to me. Draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. Let me tell you this. The closer you get to God, it will make it more difficult for you to sin. The more you recognize God's presence in your life every day, is the less you will want to offend God. But you keep yourself at a distance, it's easier for you to offend God because you don't sense his presence, you don't believe he is near, his word is not etched in your heart, you don't have things in your life to keep the Word of God in front of you, so guess what? You kind of forget that he's there. God wants us to put stones of remembrance in our lives. And he wants us to make frequent visits to that place so that we can remember what God has done and remember where you came from and know that you don't want to go back. Praise the Lord. You shall build an altar to the Lord your God of uncut stones, and you shall offer burnt offering on it, and you shall sacrifice peace offering, and you shall eat there, and you shall rejoice before the Lord, and you shall write on these stones all the word of the law very plainly. You know, as I studied this scripture, he also, if you read further down, he says, and then you have to divide the people. You have to divide them, one on one side, one and one on the other side, one to pronounce curses and one to pronounce blessings. It's like he's saying to them, I am setting before you today. When you enter into what God has for you, I'm setting before you two pathways. One to receive God's blessings and one to receive curses. Which one you want? You know, when we look at it externally, it's an easy choice. If we were to take a test today and we were to take a test concerning this, we'd have been able to say what we want. We want blessings. But it's harder to apply it to our lives. I heard a preacher preach Wednesday, and he said He preached a psalm. He's talked about Psalm 1. He said he could preach for that for a long time. But what does the Word of God say in Psalm chapter 1? What does it say happens when you meditate on God's Word? It says, you shall be like a tree planted by the river of water that bringeth forth its fruit in its season. Its leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he does will prosper. Isn't that what the word of God says? And it says, then Moses and the Levite priest said to all Israel, keep silent and hear, O Israel, this day you have become the people of the Lord your God. You shall therefore obey the voice of the Lord your God, keeping his commandment and his statutes, which I command you today. You know, what is God's commandments? You know, I was studying it and I said, and as you go down for the curses, the first thing he said in the curses is, cursed be the man who makes a carved or cast metal image and abomination to the Lord, a thing made by hands of the craftsman and set up in secret. And all the people answer and say, amen. The first one they pronounced, it was to our God. What's the first commandment? The first commandment is, we shall have no other God. But the first four relates to God. And in there they say, we shall have no graven images. How many of us know the commandments of God? You know, I have the Ten Commandments hanging in my house. Right there as you're going to go outside the door. In fact, I just hanged it up about a week ago. But I still had to go refer to it when I wanted to know where they fell. But if I was doing what the purpose of it is there for, I probably would have known, because I'd have been reading it on a daily basis as I go through the door to keep it edged in my heart. We have a responsibility to keep God's commandments. We have a responsibility for it to come off of the wall and come into our hearts. And the only way it's going to get there is that we have to make an effort to do it. Because if you know the commandments of the God and you get closer to God, you would not want a graven image. You would not want a substitute. You would understand who your God is. You know, many of us do not have a graven image in our home, but we have one in our mind. Because some people don't want the God in the Bible the way they see their God, so they make one up to suit the God that they want. It may not be sitting in their house by an altar, but it's in their mind, and they're worshiping a different God than the God in the Word of God. And how do we know that God? By His Word. And I always say the first and most important commandment comes after the one, the four from God, is number five. And that's the one I went away and looked up. I wanted to make sure it was where I thought it was. It says here, curse be anyone who dishonors his father and mother. And the people shall say, amen. I believe that the most important commandment when it's coming to our level is honoring your father and your mother. It's the only command we have with a promise. You want long days? Honor your mother and your father. Now, these were the curses. Honor. What does it mean to honor? Well, you know, it's easy for us to honor a person when that person is all that we want them to be. You know that? We could love our parents. I mean, we could love them unconditionally if in our eyes they meet our standard. We can. But let them not meet our standard. Can we honor them? Hold on a minute. I may have read this wrong. Cursed is anyone who dishonors his mother and father, if they're a good mother and father. Is that written here? Hold on, maybe I need to get a different translation. Our issue is this. This is our issue. We have a built-in mechanism in us that we want everything to be according to what we want, then we can give the kind of honor and love that they deserve. Hear that word? Deserve. I thank God today that I am not getting what I deserve. And if you are not honoring your mother and your father, you are walking in a curse. Either that or you are serving a different God in your mind than the God of the Word. You know, it's amazing to me. It's just amazing. I have a nice little daughter. I love my little girl. Okay? But when she gets older and she has her own family, I'm hoping that she would honor us. But now let me look at me. Am I honoring my parents? See how it works? We want something sometimes that we don't even give ourselves. And we forget our child or children either has us tag one or another. Either tag us as a good parent or a bad parent. They have you tagged one way or the other. But it doesn't matter how they have you tagged. You are hoping that when they get to the age where they need to honor you, that's what they will do. Therefore, what I want us to do today is these 3 points I brought to you. I know it wasn't in point form. Number one, I want you to have a place of remembrance that you can go back and visit and see where God has brought you from to where you are today. And that same place you can share with your children, your grandchildren, and if God grants you great life, you can share it with your great grandchildren. Because that's how we pass it along. 2, that we would edge the word of God in our hearts. Proverbs chapter 7 instructs us to do that. Put it in our hearts. And how you do that? By visiting God's word on a daily basis. By placing the God's word in places that it will affect you on a daily basis. I have this ESV Bible on my phone. And the neat thing about it is, it reads the Bible to me. So all I have to do is turn it on. I bought this little cassette thing. I put in my cassette player, hook it up to my phone, and it just reads it to me. Why? I want the Word of God to be edged in my heart. Because the closer I get to God, is the less I would want to offend Him. And 3, let us know God's commandments. And let us serve God and not some image of God we have in our minds. You know, when we don't understand God, we want to take out. Because sometimes I don't understand. I don't know how a God can choose a people and then they flopped up and He opened the earth and He just swallowed them up. I don't understand that kind of God. But that's my God. I don't have to wipe it out. That's how my God operates. I don't understand because one man sinned. God killed thousands over one sin. I don't understand that type of God. But that is my God. And that's the God I serve. I do understand the God that takes a man that was going nowhere and make him His guy. I do understand a God that we were in slavery to sin and send His only begotten Son. What the Word of God says about God, He is God. We may not understand it. We may not be able to process it. But let's hold Him as God. And let's honor our parents. Honor our parents. You know, I'm trying to do that now.
And I pray, God, that the rest of my life that my mom has, that I will show her honor. I'll show her honor. And I hope that would be in your heart, in spite of what you think they should have been or they should have done. Let's honor our parents. In Jesus' name, amen. It's true, because you know, there are some scriptures I would never forget. Because as a kid, it was rubbed in there. I will never forget it. Never. I mean never. Like, I'll look unto the hills which cometh my strength cometh from the Lord. I don't know why my grandma had me memorize that, but I would never forget it. She used to say, and say it every day. She wanted us to say it every day. Now it edged in my heart. Father, as we come to you this morning, we pray and ask, oh God, that you would just have your way in our hearts. Take our lives and let it be, God, only for you. Father, as we live this week, let us live it to glorify you. Let us draw near to you every day. Let us resist the devil. Let our light so shine before men that they will glorify you in heaven. And may our lives reflect the glory of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Don't forget, we meet on Wednesdays. You guys are missing. Wednesday was good. We had a very good message. If you're not coming, you're missing. So make plans, come out, have dessert, and get the word.